Doomsday Book, Cassette 8.
The woman with the scrofulous scars scurried out of the room, and even Maisry didn't dawdle going up the ladder. Kivrin pulled her cloak on and tied it hastily, afraid Lady Amani would say something else about her being attacked, but neither of the women said anything. They stood, Amani still twisting the rag between her hands, obviously waiting for Kivrin and Rosamond to be gone. "Does," Rosamond said, and then ran off after Agnes. Kivrin hurried after them. Garwin was gone, but she had permission to go into the woods and transportation, and the priest to go with them. Rosamond had said Garwin had met him on the road when he was bringing her to the manor. Perhaps Garwin had taken him to the clearing. She practically ran across the courtyard to the stable, afraid that at the last minute Eloise would call across the courtyard to her that she had changed her mind. Kivrin was not well enough, and the woods were too dangerous. The girls had apparently had the same idea. Agnes was already on her pony, and Rosamond was cinching the girth on her mare's saddle. The pony wasn't a pony at all. It was a sturdy sorrel, scarcely smaller than Rosamond's mare, and Agnes looked impossibly high up on the high-backed saddle. The boy who had told Eloise about the mare's foot was holding the reins. "Don't stand gawping, cob," Rosamond snapped at him. "Saddle the roan for Lady Catherine." He obediently let go of the reins. Agnes leaned far forward to grab them. "Not Mother's mare," Rosamond said. "The Ron's son." "We will ride to the church, Saracen," Agnes said, "and tell Father Roche we would go with him, and then we will go riding. Saracen loves to go riding." She leaned much too far forward to pat the pony's cropped mane, and Kivrin had to keep herself from grabbing for her. She was obviously perfectly able to ride. Neither Rosamond nor the boy saddling Kivrin's horse gave her a glance, but she looked so tiny perched up there in the saddle with her soft-soled boot in the jerked-up stirrup, and she was no more capable of riding carefully than she was of walking slowly. Cobb saddled the roan, led it out, and then stood there waiting. "Cobb," Rosamond said rudely. He bent down and made a step out of his linked hands. Rosamond stepped up on it and swung into the saddle. "Do not stand there like a witless fool. Help Lady Catherine." He hurried awkwardly over to give Kivrin a hand up. She hesitated, wondering what was wrong with Rosamond. She'd obviously been upset by the news that Garwin had gone to Sir Blowett. Rosamond hadn't seemed to know anything about her father's trial. But perhaps she was aware of more than Kivrin or her mother and grandmother thought. "A man as powerful as Sir Blowett," Amani had said, "and his goodwill may be sorely needed." Perhaps Amani's invitation was not as self-serving as it seemed. Perhaps it meant Lord Guillaume was in even more trouble than Eloise imagined, and Rosamond, sitting quietly at her sewing, had figured that out. "Cobb," Rosamond snapped, though he was clearly waiting for Kivrin to mount. "Your dawdling will make us miss Father Roche." Kivrin smiled reassuringly at Cobb and put her hands on the boy's shoulder. One of the first things Mr. Dunworthy had insisted on was riding lessons, and she had managed fairly well. The side saddle hadn't been introduced until the 1390s, which was a blessing, and medieval saddles had a high saddle bow and cantle. This saddle was even higher in the back than the one she'd learned on. "But I'll probably be the one to fall off, not Agnes," she thought, looking at Agnes perched confidently on her pony. She wasn't even holding on, but was twisted around messing with something in the saddlebag behind her. "Let us be gone," Rosamond said impatiently. "Sir Blowett says he will bring me a silver bridle chain for Saracen," she said, still fussing with the saddlebag. "Agnes, stop dawdling and come." Rosamond said. Sir Blowett says he will bring it when he comes at Easter. Agnes, Rosamond said. Come, it is like to rain. Nay, it will not, Agnes said unconcernedly. Sir Blowett, Rosamond turned furiously on her sister. Oh, and can you now soothe the weather? You are naught but a babe, a mewling babe. Rosamond, Gifford said, don't speak that way to your sister. She stepped up to Rosamond's mare and took hold of the loosely looped reins. What's the matter, Rosamond? Is something troubling you? Rosamond pulled the reins sharply taut. Only that we dawdle here while the babe prattles. Kivrin let go of the reins, frowning, and let Cobb make a step of his laced fingers for her foot so she could mount. She had never seen Rosamond act like this. They rode out of the courtyard, past the now empty pig pens, and out onto the green. It was a leaden day, with a low blanketing layer of heavy clouds and no wind at all. Rosamond was right about it being like to rain. There was a damp, misty feeling to the cold air. She kicked her horse into a faster walk. The village was obviously getting ready for Christmas. Smoke was coming from every hut, and two men were at the far end of the green, chopping wood and throwing it onto an already huge pile. A large, blackened chunk of meat, the goat, was roasting over a spit beside the steward's house. The steward's wife was in front, milking the bony cow Kivrin had leaned against the day she tried to find the drop. She and Mr. Dunworthy had had a fight over whether she needed to learn to milk. She had told him no cows were milked in winter in the 1300s, that the contempts let them go dry and used goat's milk for cheese. She had also told him goats were not meat animals. Agnes! Rosamond said furiously. Kivrin looked up. Agnes had come to a stop and was twisted backward in her saddle again. She obediently moved forward again, but Rosamond said, I will wait for you no longer, ninny, and kicked her horse into a trot, scattering the chickens and practically running down a barefoot little girl with an armload of faggots. Rosamond, Kivrin called. But she was already out of earshot, and Kivrin didn't want to leave Agnes's side to go after her. Is your sister angry over fetching the holly? Kivrin asked Agnes, knowing that wasn't it, but hoping Agnes would volunteer something else. She is ever cross-grained, Agnes said. Grandmother will be wroth that she rides so childishly. She trotted her pony decorously across the green, a model of maturity, nodding her head to the villagers. The little girl Rosamond had almost run down, stopped, and stared at them, her mouth open. The steward's wife looked up as they passed and smiled, and then went on milking. But the men who were cutting wood took off their caps and bowed. They rode past the hut where Kivrin had taken shelter the day she tried to find the drop. The hut she had sat in while Garwin was bringing her things back to the manor. Agnes, Kivrin said. Did Father Roche go with you when you went after the Yule log?
Aye,
Agnes said. He had to bless it. Oh, Kivrin said, disappointed. She had hoped perhaps he had gone with Garwin to fetch her things and knew where the drop was. Did anyone help Garwin bring my things to the manor?
Nay,
Agnes said, and Kivrin couldn't tell whether she really knew or not. Garwin is very strong. He killed 4 wolves with his sword. That sounded unlikely. But so did his rescuing a maiden in the woods. And it was obvious he would do anything if he thought it would win him Eloise's love, even to dragging the wagon home single-handed.
Father Roche is strong, Agnes said. Father Roche has gone, Rosamond said, already off her horse.
She had tied it to the lych gate and was standing in the churchyard, her hands on her hips.
Have you looked in the church? Kieran asked.
Nay, Rosamond said sullenly. But look how cold it grows. Father Roche will have more wit than to wait here till it snows.
We will look in the church, Kieran said, dismounting and holding her arms to Agnes. Come on, Agnes.
Nay,
Agnes said, sounding almost as stubborn as her sister.
I would wait here with Saracen.
She patted the pony's mane.
Saracen will be all right, Kieran said.
She reached for the little girl and lifted her down. Come on, we'll look in the church first. She took her hand and opened the lych gate to the churchyard. Agnes didn't protest, but she kept glancing anxiously over her shoulder at the horses.
Saracen likes not to be left alone.
Rosamond stopped in the middle of the churchyard and turned around, her hands on her hips.
What are you hiding, you wicked girl? Did you steal apples and put them in your saddlebags?
No, Agnes said, alarmed, but Rosamond was already striding toward the pony.
Stay from there. It is not your pony, Agnes shouted. It is mine.
Well, we won't have to go find the priest, Kieran thought. If he's here, he'll come out to see what all the noise is.
Rosamond was unbuckling the straps to the saddlebag. Look, she said, and held up Agnes's puppy by the scruff of its neck.
Oh, Agnes, Kieran said.
You are a wicked girl, Rosamond said. I should take it to the river and drown it.
She turned in that direction.
Nay!
Agnes wailed and ran to the lych gate. Rosamond immediately held the puppy up out of Agnes's reach. This has gone absolutely far enough, Kieran thought. She stepped forward and took the puppy away from Rosamond.
Agnes, stop howling. Your sister won't hurt your puppy.
The puppy scrabbled against Kivrin's shoulder, trying to lick her cheek.
Agnes, hounds can't ride horses. Blackie wouldn't be able to breathe in your saddlebag.
I could carry him, Agnes said, but not very hopefully.
He wanted to ride my pony.
He had a nice ride to the church, Kivrin said firmly. And he will have a nice ride back to the stable. Rosamond, take Blackie back to the stable. He was trying to bite her ear. She gave him to Rosamond, who took hold of the back of his neck.
It's just a baby, Agnes. It must go back to its mother now and sleep.
You are the baby, Agnes, Rosamond said. So furiously, Kivrin was not sure she trusted her to take the puppy back.
To put a hound upon a horse. And now we must waste yet more time taking it back. I shall be glad when I am grown and no longer have to do with babes.
She mounted, still holding the puppy up by his neck. But once she was in her saddle, she wrapped him almost tenderly in the corner of her cloak and cupped him against her chest. She took the reins with her free hand and turned the horse.
Father Roche has surely gone by now, she said angrily, and galloped off.
Kivrin was afraid she was probably right. The racket they had made had almost been enough to wake the dead under the wooden tombstones, but no one had appeared from the church. He had no doubt left before they arrived, and now was long gone. But Kivrin took Agnes's hand and led her into the church.
Rosamond is a wicked girl, Agnes said.
Kivrin felt inclined to agree with her. But she could hardly say that. And she didn't feel much like defending Rosamond, so she didn't say anything.
Nor am I a babe, Agnes said, looking up at Kivrin for confirmation.
But there was nothing to say to that either. Kivrin pushed the heavy door open and stood looking into the church. There was no one there. It was dim almost to blackness in the nave. The grey day outside sending no light at all through the narrow stained glass windows. but the half-open door gave enough light to see it was empty.
"Mayhap he is in the chancel," Agnes said. She squeezed past Kivrin into the dark nave, knelt, crossed herself, and then looked impatiently back over her shoulder at Kivrin.
There was no one in the chancel either. She could see from there that there was no candles lit on the altar. But Agnes wasn't going to be satisfied till they had searched the whole church. Kivrin knelt and made her obeisance beside her, and they walked up to the rude screen through the near darkness. The candles in front of the statue of St. Catherine had been extinguished. She could smell the sharp scent of tallow and smoke. She wondered if Father Roche had snuffed them out before he left. Fire would have been a huge problem, even in a stone church, and there were no votive dishes for the candles to burn down safely in. Agnes went right up to the rude screen, pressed her face against the cut-out wood and called, "Father Roche!" She turned around immediately and announced, "He isn't here, Lady Kivrin. Mayhap he's in his house," she said, and ran out the priest's door. Kivrin was sure Agnes was not supposed to do that, but there was nothing to do but follow her across the churchyard to the nearest house. It had to belong to the priest because Agnes was already standing outside the door yelling, "Father Roche," and of course the priest's house was next to the church. But Kivrin was still surprised. The house was as ramshackle as the hut she had rested in, and not much larger. The priest was supposed to get a tithe of everybody's crops and livestock. But there were no animals in the narrow yard, except for a few straggly chickens, and less than an armload of wood stacked out front. Agnes had started banging on the door, which looked as insubstantial as the hut, and Kivrin was afraid she'd knock it open and walk straight in. But before she could get to her, Agnes turned and said, "Mayhap he's in the bell tower." "No, I don't think so," Kivrin said, taking Agnes's hand so she didn't go tearing off through the churchyard again. They started walking back toward the lych gate. "Father Roche does not ring the bell again till Vespers."
"He might," Agnes said, cocking her head as if listening for it.
Kivrin listened too, but there was no sound, and she realized suddenly that the bell in the southwest had stopped. It had rung almost non-stop while she had the pneumonia. And she had heard it when she went out to the stable the second time looking for Garwin. But she didn't remember whether it had rung since then or not.
"Heard you that, Lady Kivrin?" Agnes said.
She pulled her hand out of Kivrin's grasp and ran off, not toward the bell tower, but around the end of the church to the north side.
"See you?"
she crowed, pointing at what she'd found.
"He has not gone."
It was the priest's white donkey, placidly pulling at the weeds sticking up through the snow. It had a rope bridle on and several burlap bags over its back, obviously empty, obviously intended for the holly and ivy.
"He is in the bell tower, I trow," Agnes said, and darted back the way she'd come.
Kivrin followed her around the church and into the churchyard, watching Agnes disappear into the tower. She waited, wondering where else they should look. Perhaps he was tending someone ill in one of the huts. She caught a flicker of movement through the church window. A light? Perhaps while they were looking at the donkey, he'd come back. She pushed the priest's door open and looked inside. A candle had been lit in front of St. Catherine's statue. She could see its faint glow at the statue's feet.
"Father Roche," she called softly.
There was no answer. She stepped inside, letting the door shut behind her, and went over to the statue. The candle was set between the statue's block-like feet. St. Catherine's rough face and hair were in shadow, looming protectively over the small adult figure who was supposed to be a little girl. She knelt and picked up the candle. It had just been lit. It hadn't even had time to melt the tallow in the well around the wick. Kivrin looked down the nave. She couldn't see anything, holding the candle. It lit the floor and St. Catherine's box-like wimple and put the rest of the nave in total darkness. She took a few steps down the nave, still holding the candle. Father Roche? It was utterly silent in the church, the way it had been in the woods that day when she came through. Too silent. As if someone was there, standing beside the tomb, or behind one of the pillars, waiting. Father Roche, she called clearly. Are you there? There was no answer. Only that hushed, waiting silence. There wasn't anyone in the woods, she told herself, and took a few more steps forward into the gloom. There was no one beside the tomb. Hermione's husband lay with his hands folded across his breast and his sword at his side, peaceful and silent. There was no one by the door either. She could see it now, in spite of the candle's blinding light. There was no one there. She could feel her heart pounding the way it had in the forest, so loud it could be covering up the sound of footsteps, of breathing, of someone standing there, waiting. She whirled around, the candle tracing a fiery trail in the air as she turned. He was right behind her. The candle nearly went out. It bent, flickering, and then steadied, lighting his cutthroat's face from below, the way it had with the lantern. What do you want? Kivrin said, so breathlessly almost no sound came out. How did you get in here? The cutthroat didn't answer her. He simply stared at her the way he had in the clearing. I didn't dream him, she thought frightenedly. He was there. He had intended, what, to rob her? To rape her? And Darwin had frightened him off. She took a step backward. I said, what do you want? Who are you? She was speaking English. She could hear it echoing hollowly in the cold stone space. Oh, no, she thought. Don't let the interpreter break down now. What are you doing here? She said, forcing herself to speak more slowly and heard her own voice saying, Weta Wolda Thu with the May. He put his hand out toward her. A huge hand, dirty and reddened. A cutthroat's hand, as if he would touch her cropped hair. Go away, she said. She stepped backward again and came up against the tomb. The candle went out. I don't know who you are or what you want, but you better go away. It was English again. But what difference did it make? He wanted to rob her, to kill her. And where was the priest? Father Roche, she cried desperately. Father Roche! There was a sound at the door, a bang, and then the scrape of wood on stone, and Agnes pushed the door open. There you are, she said happily. I've looked everywhere for you. The cutthroat glanced at the door. Agnes, Kivrin shouted, run! The little girl froze, her hands still on the heavy door. Get away from here, Kivrin shouted, and realized with horror that it was still English. What was the word for run? The cutthroat took another step toward Kivrin. She shrank back against the tomb. Rennie, flee, Agnes, she cried, and then the door crashed shut, and Kivrin was running across the stone floor and out the door after her, dropping the candle as she ran. Agnes was almost to the lich gate, but she stopped as soon as Kivrin was out the door and ran back to her. No, Kivrin shouted, waving her on. Run! Is it a wolf? Agnes asked, wide-eyed. There was no time to explain or try to coax her to run. The men who had been cutting wood had disappeared. She scooped Agnes up in her arms and ran toward the horses. There was a wicked man in the church, she said, setting Agnes on her pony. A wicked man? Agnes asked, ignoring the reins Kivrin was thrusting at her. Was it one of those who set upon you in the woods? Yes, Kivrin said, untying the reins. You must ride as fast as you can to the manor house. Don't stop for anything.
I didn't see him, Agnes said.
She probably hadn't. Coming in from outside, she wouldn't have been able to see anything in the church's gloom.
Was he the man who stole your goods and gear and cracked your skull?
Yes, Kivrin said. She reached for the reins and started to untie them.
Was the wicked man hiding in the tomb?
What? Kivrin said. She couldn't get the stiff leather untied. She glanced anxiously back at the church door.
I saw you and Father Roche by the tomb. Was the wicked man hiding in Grandfather's grave?
Chapter 16. Father Roche. The stiff reins came suddenly loose in Kivrin's hands.
Father Roche? I went in the bell tower, but he wasn't there. He was in the church,
Agnes said.
Why was the wicked man hiding in Grandfather's tomb, Lady Kivrin?
Father Roche. But it couldn't be. Father Roche had given her the last rites. He had anointed her temples and the palms of her hands.
Will the wicked man hurt Father Roche?
Agnes asked. He couldn't be Father Roche. Father Roche had held her hand. He had told her not to be afraid. She tried to call up the face of the priest. He had leaned over her and asked her her name, but she hadn't been able to see his face because of all the smoke. And while he was giving her the last rites, she had seen the cutthroat. She had been afraid because they had let him in the room. She had tried to get away from him. But it hadn't been a cutthroat at all. It had been Father Roche.
Is the wicked man coming?
Agnes said, looking anxiously at the church door. It all made sense. The cutthroat leaning over her in the clearing, putting her on the horse. She had thought it was a vision from her delirium, but it wasn't. It had been Father Roche, come to help Garwin bring her to the manor. The wicked man isn't coming, Kivrin said. There isn't any wicked man.
Is he still in the church?
No, I was wrong. There isn't any wicked man. Agnes looked unconvinced.
You cried out,
she said. Kivrin could hear her telling her grandmother,
Lady Catherine and Father Roche were in the church together and she cried out.
Lady Imani would be delighted to have this to add to her litany of Father Roche's sins. And to Kivrin's list of suspicious behavior. I know I cried out, Kivrin said. It was dark in the church. Father Roche came upon me suddenly and I was frightened.
But it was Father Roche,
Agnes said, as if she couldn't imagine anyone being frightened by him. When you and Rosamond play at hiding, and she jumps suddenly at you from behind a tree, you cry out, Kivrin said desperately.
One time Rosamond hid in the loft when I was looking at my hound, and she jumped down. I was so affrighted, I cried out, like this,
Agnes said, and let out a blood-curdling shriek. And another time it was dark in the hall, and Garwin jumped out from behind the screens, and he said, Fie! And I cried out, and... That's right, Kivrin said. It was dark in the church.
Did Father Roche jump out at you and say fie?
Yes, Kivrin thought. He leaned over me and I thought he was a cutthroat.
No,
she said. He didn't do anything.
Go we still with Father Roche for the holly?
If I hadn't frightened him away, Kivrin thought. If he hasn't left while we've stood here talking. She lifted Agnes down. Come on, we must go find him. She didn't know what she'd do if he'd already gone. She couldn't take Agnes back to the manor to tell Lady Hermione how she had screamed, and she couldn't go back without explaining to Father Roche. Explaining what? That she'd thought he was a robber? A rapist? That she thought he was a nightmare from her delirium?
Must we go into the church again? Agnes asked reluctantly.
It's all right. There's no one there except Father Roche. In spite of Kivrin's assurances, Agnes was unwilling to go back in the church. She hid her head in Kivrin's skirt when Kivrin opened the door and clung to her leg.
It's all right,
Kivrin said, peering into the nave. He was no longer by the tomb. The door shut behind her and she stood there with Agnes pressed against her, waiting for her eyes to adjust to the darkness.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
He's not a cutthroat, she told herself. There's nothing to be afraid of. He gave you the last rites. He held your hand. But her heart was pounding.
Is the wicked man there?
Agnes whispered, her head jammed against Kivrin's knee.
There isn't any wicked man, she said,
and then saw him. He was standing in front of St. Catherine's statue. He was holding the candle Kivrin had dropped, and he bent and set it in front of the statue and then straightened again. She had thought, perhaps, it had been some trick of the darkness in the candle's flame, lighting his face from below, and he wasn't the cutthroat after all, but he was. He had worn a hood over his head that night so she couldn't see his tonsure. But he was bending over the statue the way he had bent over her. Her heart began to pound again.
Where is Father Roche?
Agnes said, raising her head.
There he is, she said, and ran toward him.
No, Kivrin said, and started after her.
Don't... Father Roche! Agnes shouted. Father Roche, we've been seeking you.
She'd obviously forgotten all about the wicked man.
We looked in the church, and we looked in the house, but you weren't there.
She was running full tilt at him. He turned and bent down and scooped Agnes up into his arms, all in one motion.
I sought you in the bell tower, but you were not there, Agnes said, without the slightest trace of fear.
Rosamond said you'd gone. Kivrin stopped even with the last pillar, trying to get her heart to slow down.
Were you hiding? Agnes asked.
She put one arm trustingly round his neck.
Once Rosamond hid in the barn and jumped down on me, I cried out in a loud voice.
Why did you seek me, Agnes? He said. Is someone ill?
He pronounced Agnes, Agnus, and he had nearly the same accent as the boy with the scurvy. The interpreter took a catch step before it translated what he'd said, and Kivrin felt a fleeting surprise that she couldn't understand him. She had understood everything he said in the sick room. He must have been speaking Latin to me, she thought, but there was no mistaking his voice. It was the voice that had said the last rites, the voice that had told her not to be afraid, and she wasn't afraid. At the sound of his voice, her heart had stopped pounding.
Nay, none are ill, Agnes said. We would go with you to gather ivy and holly for the hall, Lady Kivrin and Rosamond and Saracen and I.
At the words Lady Kivrin, Roche turned and saw her standing there by the pillar. He set Agnes down. Kivrin put out her hand to the pillar for support.
I beg your pardon, Holy Father, she said. I'm so sorry I screamed and ran from you. It was dark, and I didn't recognize you.
The interpreter, still a half beat behind, translated that as, I knew you not.
She knows naught, Agnes interrupted. The wicked man struck her on the head, and she remembers naught save for her name.
I had heard this, he said, still looking at Kivrin. Is it true you have no memory of why you have come among us?
She felt the same longing to tell him the truth that she had felt when he'd asked her her name. I'm an historian, she wanted to say. I came here to observe you, and I fell ill, and I don't know where the drop is.
She remembers naught of who she is, Agnes said. She did not yet remember how to speak. I had to teach her.
You remember naught of who you are?
He asked. No.
And naught of your coming here?
He said. She could answer that truthfully, at least. No, she said. Except that you and Garwin brought me to the manor.
Agnes was obviously tired of the conversation.
Might we go with you now to gather holly? He didn't act as if he'd heard her.
He extended his hand as if he were going to bless Kivrin, but he touched her temple instead, and she realized that was what he had intended to do before, beside the tomb.
You have no wound, he said.
It's healed, she said.
We wish to go now, Agnes said, tugging on Roche's arm.
He raised his hand, as if to touch her temple again, and then withdrew it.
You must not fear, he said. God has sent you among us for some good purpose.
No, he hasn't, Kivrin thought. He hasn't sent me here at all. Medieval sent me. But she felt comforted.
Thank you, she said.
I would go now, Agnes said, tugging on Kivrin's arm. Go fetch your donkey, she told Father Roche, and we will fetch Rosamond.
Agnes started down the nave, and Kivrin had no choice but to go with her to keep her from running. The door banged open just before they reached it, and Rosamond looked in, blinking.
It is raining. Found you, Father Roche? She demanded. Took you, Blackie, to the stable? Agnes asked. Aye. You were too late then, and Father Roche had gone.
Nay, he is here, and we are to go with him. He was in the church, and Lady Kivrin... He has gone to fetch his donkey,
Kivrin said, to keep Agnes from launching into the story of what had happened.
I was affrighted that time when you jumped from the loft, Rosamond, Agnes said.
But Rosamond had already stomped off to her horse.
It wasn't raining, but there was a fine mist in the air.
Kivrin helped Agnes into her saddle and mounted the sorrel, using the lich gate as a step. Father Roche led the donkey out to them, and they started off on the track past the church and up through the little band of trees behind it, along a little space of snow-covered meadow, and on into the woods.
There are wolves in these woods, Agnes said. Garwin killed one.
Kivrin scarcely heard her. She was watching Father Roche walking beside his donkey, trying to remember the night he had brought her to the manor. Rosamond had said Garwin had met him on the road, and he had helped Garwin bring her the rest of the way to the manor. But that couldn't be right. He had leaned over her as she sat against the wagon wheel. She could see his face in the flickering light from the fire. He had said something to her she didn't understand, and she had said, "Tell Mr. Dunworthy to come and get me."
"Rosamond does not ride in seemly fashion for a maid," Agnes said primly.
She had ridden out ahead of the donkey, and was nearly out of sight where the road curved, waiting impatiently for them to catch up.
"Rosamond!" Kivrin called,
and Rosamond galloped back, nearly colliding with the donkey, and then pulling her mare's reins up short.
"Can we go no faster than this?" she demanded,
wheeled around and rode ahead again.
"We will never finish ere it rains."
They were riding in thick woods now.
the road scarcely wider than a bridle path. Kivrin looked at the trees, trying to remember having seen them. They passed a thicket of willows, but it was set too far back from the road, and a trickle of ice-bordered water ran next to it. There was a huge sycamore on the other side of the path. It stood in a little open space draped with mistletoe. Beyond it was a line of wild service trees, so evenly spaced they might have been planted. She didn't remember ever having seen any of this before. They had brought her along this road, and she'd hoped that something might trigger her memory. But nothing looked familiar at all. It had been too dark, and she had been too ill. All she really remembered was the drop, though it had the same hazy, unreal quality as the trip to the manor. There had been a clearing, and an oak, and a thicket of willows, and Father Roche's face bending over her as she sat against the wagon wheel. He must have been with Darwin when he found her, or else Darwin had brought him back to the drop. She could see his face clearly in the light from the fire, and then she'd fallen off the horse at the fork. They hadn't come to any fork yet. She hadn't even seen any paths, though she knew they had to be there, cutting from village to village, and leading to the fields and the hut of the sick cotter Eloise had gone to see. They climbed a low hill, and at the top of it Father Roche looked back to see if they were following. He knows where the drop is, Kivrin thought. She had hoped he had some idea where it was, that Garwin had described it to him or told him which road it lay along, but he hadn't had to. Father Roche already knew where the drop was. He had been there. Agnes and Kivrin came to the top of the hill, but all she could see was trees, and below them more trees. They had to be in Witchwood Forest, but if they were, there were over 100 square kilometers in which the drop could be hidden. She would never have found it on her own. She could scarcely see 10 meters into the underbrush. She was amazed at the thickness of the woods as they came down the hill into the heart of them. There were clearly no paths between the trees here. There was scarcely any space at all, and what there was filled with fallen branches and tangled thickets and snow. She had been wrong about not recognizing anything. She knew these woods after all. It was the forest Snow White had got lost in, and Hansel and Gretel, and all those princes. There were wolves in it, and bears, and perhaps even witches' cottages. And that was where all those stories had come from, wasn't it? The Middle Ages. And no wonder. Anyone would get lost in here.
This ends side one of cassette 8. Please turn the cassette over and start side 2 at the same point.